The four-car motorcade scarcely slowed as it turned into the West Executive Avenue entrance to number 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Guards waved them straight through, and the four Secret Service agents in the leading automobile nodded curtly. Behind them followed two Pentagon staff limousines with Navy guards in the front passenger seats. One more carload of Secret Servicemen brought up the rear. At the entrance to the West Wing, four more of the 35 White House duty agents were waiting. As the men from the Pentagon stepped from the cars, each of them was issued with a personal identity badge, except for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Scott F. Dunsmore, who had a permanent pass. From the same limousine stepped the towering figure of Admiral Joseph Mulligan, the former commanding officer of a Trident nuclear submarine, and now the Chief of Naval Operations, CNO, the professional head of the U.S. Navy. The third man was Vice Admiral Arnold Morgan, the brilliant, irascible director of the super-secret National Security Agency in Fort Meade, Maryland. The second staff car contained the two senior submarine flag officers in the U.S. Navy, Vice Admiral John F. Dixon, Commander Submarines Atlantic Fleet, and Rear Admiral Johnny Barry, Commander Submarines Pacific Fleet. Both men had been summoned to Washington in the small hours of that morning. It was now 4:30 p.m., and there was a semblance of cool in the afternoon air. It was rare to see five such senior military figures fully uniformed at the White House at one time. There was an underlying aura of authority about the chairman, flanked on either side by senior commanders. In many countries, it might have given the appearance of an impending military coup. Right here, in the home of the U.S. president, it merely caused much subservient nodding of heads by the Secret Servicemen. The president may nominally carry the title of commander-in-chief, but these were the men who operated the front-line muscle of United States military power. The great carrier battle groups with their airstrike forces, which patrol the world's oceans, and the nuclear submarine strike force. These men also had much to do with the operation of the presidency. The Navy itself runs Camp David, and indeed is entrusted with the life of the president, controlling directly the private, bulletproof presidential suite at the Bethesda Naval Hospital in the event of an emergency. The 89th Airlift Wing, under the control of Air Mobility Command, runs the private presidential aircraft, the Boeing 747 Air Force One. The U.S. Marines provide all presidential helicopters. The U.S. Army provides all White House cars and drivers. The Defense Department provides all communications. When the chairman of the Joint Chiefs arrives, accompanied by his senior commanders, these are not mere visitors. These are the most trusted men in the United States of America, men whose standing and awesome authority will survive political upheaval, even a change of presidency. They are men who are not intimidated by civilian power, men to whom any president must accord due deference. And on this sunlit late summer afternoon, the 43rd U.S. president stood before the motionless flags of the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force to greet them as they entered the Oval Office. He smiled and addressed each one of them by his first name, including the Pacific submarine commander whom he had not met. To him he extended his right hand and said warmly, "Johnny, I've heard a great deal about you. Delighted to meet you at last." They took their seats in five wooden captain's chairs, arrayed before the great desk of America's chief executive. "Mr. President," said Admiral Dunsmore, "we got a problem."
"I guessed so, Scott."
"It's one we've touched upon before, but never with any degree of urgency, because basically we thought it probably would not happen. But right now, it's happening."
"Go on."
"The 10 Russian Kilo-class submarines ordered by China."
"Of which they have taken delivery of 2 in 5 years, right?"
"Yes, sir."
"We now think the rest will be delivered in the next 9 months. 8 of them, all of which are well on their way to completion in various Russian shipyards."
"Can we live with just the 2 already in place?"
"Yes, sir, just. Because that means they are unlikely to have more than 1 operational at a time, but no more. If they take